Are you ready to win? You're tuned in with Star, Pastor Dab, and Gabe for an hour packed with encouragement, strategies, and resources for families with children with special needs. You're not alone on this journey. Stay tuned because you're ready to win.
Ready to win. All right, you guys. Welcome back to another week's episode of Ready to Win. This is Star. And my mommy and Gaby and Quentin are all not here, but I'm in the studio live with Mr. Allen.
Yay!
And we got a great show planned for you guys today. We're going to be giving you some great tips and just connecting you to the resources that you need for your family. And we're excited to be here today. So first things first, we just want to say a special, special prayer for all of those affected by Hurricane Harvey. I know it's been a horrible storm. I just read the winds were over 130 miles per hour that hit in Texas. And so we definitely want to be in prayer for all of those affected by Hurricane Harvey, all the families that are affected. And it doesn't just affect the people that are in that location. It affects people throughout the country because, you know, we all have families spread out all over the place. And so whenever we hear of things like that, you know, it's just devastating and it really affects all of us. So definitely we're keeping all those people in our thoughts and in our prayers on today. And, you know, we had a couple weeks ago a young man on here from Survivalist Mentality, and he talked to us about these things, about being prepared, about being ready for when disaster strikes. And you never can be totally ready when things happen like this because nobody knows when it's going to come. But he really gave us some good suggestions and some tips on what you can do. And we want to make sure that all of our families and children that have special needs are prepared and that they know some tips that they can take, you know, some things that we can do to make sure that our kids are safe if it happens here, because we're right in the middle of hurricane season and it seems like it's not showing us any mercy. So we're just excited that we can share some tips that we can be safe if and when we have disaster strike us. And so I know we have just had a caller, one of our favorite callers, Miss Suzanne. Thank you for calling in today.
Good morning. You're welcome.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. And so we were just praying for all of those affected by Hurricane Harvey. And I know this is something that is not too long ago. I remember when you were evacuating and trying to get out of harm's way from Hurricane Matthew. And so I know it was a big ordeal for you. I remember you had all of us looking for hotels for you. I say six people, right? Looking for hotels.
Yeah, there was about six people. They were all calling for reservations, and we need the roll-in shower for my son. So that made it a little bit more challenging, and people were just coming back to me saying, booked, booked, booked. Everything's totally booked. There's nothing. And we ended up in Opelika, Alabama, which I don't even know
that
where
was
that is.
Far. I remember you said you had to go all down all these windy roads, and you were driving by yourself, and
The brakes were going out
in your handicap accessible van, and everything was just, it was just a horrible, horrible nightmare. I remember.
Well, it was a challenge. Mm-hmm. Let's say it was a challenge and it was a lesson learned.
Yes, it was.
But you really did feel, you do have that feeling of helplessness, because I don't know what the whole thought process was, but you think that, oh, you're going to evacuate and there's hotels everywhere, mm-hmm. so there wouldn't be you're going to find a hotel. But all during the trip, each time I came upon a cluster of hotels, thinking, oh, well, maybe we missed, maybe my support group missed this hotel, and I'd stop and say, do you have any, rooms? And they didn't even ask for handicap rooms at that point. Mm-hmm. And they were like, nope, sold out. Totally booked, sold out, totally booked, sold out. And, I was not even going to the cream of the crop hotels. I was, you know.
I remember you were not even like, I'm looking for 5-star. I've got to have room service. You know, you weren't even being bougie or anything.
No,
you were just
no.
like, I need a room.
I just need some place that has electricity so I can run the medical equipment and have it be semi, you know. At that point, I don't think we were concerned about bed bugs or anything. We just needed electricity. That was our main.
Right. And I remember you had to go all the way to Alabama. I think, if I remember correctly, you drove about 7 hours with all the traffic and all of the, you know, I know you were having problems with the van was breaking down and all kinds of stuff. But I remember you had to drive 7 hours there just to get to the hotel. And, you know, like you said, it wasn't even, it was just a hotel. Exactly.
Yeah. The people were very nice. And there was a lot of compassion on the road, but just going into the gas station to get gas and everything, it seemed to me that everyone was in a frantic mode. I mean, people weren't thinking, you know, when you go into a convenience gas station store, you're looking at the price and you're looking, people were just had like armfuls of stuff.
They didn't care that this candy bar costs $1.79 and you can get two for one at Walmart. They didn't care about that.
They did not care. They were just buying. I mean, when people were coming out of the convenience store, their hands were just full of stuff. And it was such a interesting experience because I'm thinking I'm one of the few, I don't know what I was thinking, honestly, you know, that, yeah, we're just going to evacuate.
Mm-hmm.
But if I may say, give a tip right now is, if you think you're going to evacuate, first have 2 plans of evacuation, because it depends where it's going to hit,
mm-hmm.
Whether you go west or whether you go north, and probably you want to go northwest was my idea, as much inland as possible. But book your reservation early, like a week in advance. As soon as you know something might be coming, you can always cancel it. Or if you don't cancel it, you can go, you know, go there anyways just to be out of the bad weather.
Right.
Or what did you call it? You could go on a
getaway.
Yeah, a
little getaway or a little mini vacation.
We used to call it the hurricane.
The hurricane. I love that.
There you go.
I love that. You know, we've had to evacuate with, I think we've evacuated like one time since I've lived in Florida. And, you know, we've had a lot of skiers, but we've evacuated one time. And that's when we were stationed in Key West, Florida. And they were like, oh, you guys got to get out of here. So we drove all the way. They evacuated us. The military made us leave. And we went to Orlando. And the traffic was horrendous trying to get up out of there on that 2-mile, you know, 2-lane highway and everything. But that was the time,
absolutely,
the one time that I can remember us having to evacuate. And then all of the other times, and I always say this was BG before Gabriel. So the other times since Gabriel's been here, we've kind of just boarded up the house and just kind of rode the storm out, you know. But I think it's so important for families to know what steps can you take to be safe, because, you know, we live in Florida and in Texas, and these places are like right off the coast. And so we got to know what are some steps that we can take to be safe, and what are some inexpensive things that we can do or some things that we can have in our home already, so that when this does happen, and it might not even be a hurricane, it just could be that the power goes out in your neighborhood for whatever reason for a long period of time. What does that mean for you and your family? And so I know we were talking a little bit earlier, you know, what are some things that you've done? Because some of us have medical equipment and some of us have kids that if the lights go off, they don't like that at all. They kind of freak out with that. So what are some things that you can do to have your own evacuation plan, your own like safety plan at home? And for us, one of the things was always buying extra batteries. We have a bag full of batteries, every single size in, right? We keep them right in the kitchen. And we keep all the batteries here. So everybody knows if you need a battery, they're right down here. And we keep our candles right there and the little fire starter thing for the grill. We keep it up high. But everything is in a centralized place all the time so that if the lights go out, we can get to them. I think a lot of people have the supplies, but they don't know where they're at or they can't get to them. So having them in just like that one centralized location really helps. And then another thing that we've done is, you know, even if it's no hurricane, when there's no signs of rain is when you want to prepare. So going when you go to the Dollar Tree every now and then, just pick up those little battery, those little lights that when you push them, it lights up that are ran by
the
battery.
LED lights. Mm-hmm. Yes. And they even have, you know, for kids that like routine, now they have the little light switches.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks like a light so they can even carry it around with them. It takes two AA or two AAA, I don't know what, a couple batteries, and they can just turn it on and off at, to give them that security.
And that's great. You know, Gabriel really loves, he does not like it when the lights are off. So I can imagine young kids, they want to be able to see where they're going, and they want, you know, it just makes them feel more secure. So that's awesome.
My sister has younger children, and where they're from, tornadoes are always the issue up there, and they, unlike Florida, they have basements, but they make it almost like a camping adventure because they're at the age where they get kind of, you know, younger kids, they get scared, you know, mom and dad, they see mom and dad tensing up and all that, and they just put all the sleeping bags and everything down in the basement, and they make like a little picnic or what, you know, things to make it look like they're camping. So that's another way to ease your children into a possible crisis situation without having them totally freak out on, you know, freak out on you.
I know that's right. Turn it into a game. Make it fun. You know,
exactly.
And there's so many things that you guys can do out there. You can create your own do-it-yourself emergency kit. And if you go to www.coj.net, cityofjacksonville.net, you can see they have all kinds of ideas on emergency preparedness and creating your own do-it-yourself emergency kit. And of course, it has batteries. It has some, all these items you guys probably can get, I would say 95% of them right from your local Dollar Tree. Batteries.
And
some,
even those solar lights,
mm-hmm.
you know, they're dollar a stick, you know, if you're 2-3 days without power for some reason, for any reason, you know, put them out in the sun and then during the nighttime, bring them in, and you know, that's not even where you have to worry about batteries. Try and be proactive.
That's right. So you guys create your own kit, check out these websites, and you will be able to just have a sense of peace and know that you're doing what's best to keep yourself and your family safe, especially when you have those special someones in the house that are dependent on mommy and daddy to have all the answers. And so we want to make sure that we do everything that we can, and you guys will be able to create your own kits and have your own evacuation plan for you and your family.
And Star, didn't you have a special guest on a couple weeks ago, about a month ago?
Mm-hmm.
And he had a lot of great survivor tips that people don't even think about.
He did. And he was so phenomenal. His name was Mike Tennis with Survivalist Mentality. And he was awesome. And we're going to be giving away to one of our guests coming up very soon. We'll be giving away one of his programs. Well, he'll actually come into your home, do a consultation with you, and help you prepare your home so it can be safe, be a safe environment, and to be aware of some things that you might not be aware of if disaster does strike, you know. And so we want to make sure that we are prepared, especially, like we said, living in Florida.
Absolutely. And he had some great ideas. And one of the things I just thought it would be, you know, and maybe I'm one of the few, but I thought, well, if we're going to evacuate, you know, you will find a place. The main thing I hear is that you have to worry about the full gas tanks, and I'm normally prepared for that anyways, but just the traffic and just the mentality once it's out there. People go one way or another was my impression. They either were like, they were going to be the first ones out, or else they were more compassionate. So that is something that you just have to, there's many people out there evacuating, and there's the tension is high, and the whole, even where I ended up in Alabama, the whole hotel was totally booked, and some churches were having like picnics for all the evacuees, and it was just a different mentality. So even though you say, oh, I'm going to evacuate, please, please plan ahead, be proactive, and get those reservations in, and get the two game plans, the two ideas of which way you're going to go, because these highways get very, 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 very congested.
They do. And, you know, we've seen it firsthand. And then, you know, like you said, keeping the gas tanks filled up too. Those are all things that we think about, but we just never think, oh, it's going to be a storm coming. Oh, I'll just get gas tomorrow or whatever. So just having those simple things that you've taken those measures on can really be some great, great measures that can save you a lot of time, but it could end up really turning into a huge blessing for your family, a full gas tank. Because we were even talking about the fact that if you had gas, your kids, that if your power went off and your kids were overheating or whatever, you could go in the car for a little bit and cool off, you know, charge your cell phones. Yes. Yeah. So all those things happen if you have a full tank of gas. And even, you know, God forbid if they even run out of gas. I've seen that happen where, you know, in storms where, you know, they were out of gas for a little bit, you know, and when it gets really bad like that. So,
well, that happened here in Jacksonville in some parts. I mean, when you were going down Beach Boulevard, out of gas. So, you know, my suggestion is if you can keep it, you know, keep it as full as possible during this hurricane season. So if you do need gas, you only need minimal. And like you said, even if you do decide to stay in a safe place here, you know, during the storm, you at least have that refuge either to charge iPads or get the kids cooled down. Or, you know, I don't suggest traveling during the storm once it hits or even afterwards because there's down power lines and all. But make sure, you know, have that other. You know, if you're in a house and it's hot, you know, you don't want to be sitting in a 100-degree house, you know, baking when you could, you know, go out and get a little fresh air in the air conditioning
right,
of your car.
Right. So. And another thing that is important too is know the shelter that is designated to your area. You know, they have shelters for families as well. So you want to know what shelters are designated for the zone that you live in,
and what are the requirements,
and do they take pets and all those things. So these are all things that you guys can look into, but it's something that we've got to pay attention to because it's happening. And if you're not prepared, you just feel so sorry for the people that are not really prepared for when disaster strikes, you know. And even if you are prepared, you can't do anything
right
about the disaster striking. But at least if you have your batteries, if you have your food, if you have your manual can opener, you know, all those things that you would not necessarily be thinking about. Maybe your instant coffee, you know.
And maybe that just reminded me, you know, as you all know, my son's in a chair. I mean, maybe a manual wheelchair,
yes,
right, because that power wheelchair, if the power goes off, what is he supposed to do?
Yeah.
I mean, you can still push them, but that's not, those are like 350-pound chairs. So, you know, think of all your needs, you know, think of all that your child needs during the, well, in your needs too. I mean, these kids are so stuck on electronics nowadays that you really, if you have backup chargers and you mentioned the Dollar Tree, they've got like these little temporary chargers that you put the two AA's, I guess I'm a AA kind of person today, but two AA's in the little device. It's only a dollar and you can plug it in and you'll get a little bit of a charge. So even if you need that charge for emergency or to check the weather, if the towers aren't down, you know, you have that backup.
So. All right, and that's going to make it a smoother transition than not having any of those things at all. So we're just thankful to be able to share these tips with you guys. Can go and get more information at Hurricane Preparedness, and then the City of Jacksonville has some information on there so that you guys can know how to be safe and take care of yourself and your families in time of a storm, okay? So you guys make sure that you check out those resources. And we're going to go ahead and play a song right now. How about we play I'm an Overcomer? What about you? Overcomer, what about you? I love that song. It just speaks to me at my core, because I remember when I wrote all this music, I didn't feel like an overcomer, but I knew I couldn't say what I felt like. I had to write what God said I was. And so that's what I did write. I wrote, I'm an overcomer. What about you? And sometimes when we are going through challenges and so many different things in life, we have to not say how we feel or what the situation is, but we have to say what God says it is. And he says that we're overcomers. And so I'm just excited. I love that song. I love to be able to share that message with you of overcoming, of winning. You know, one song says I'm ready to win and the other song says overcomer, but you guys realize that they're still the same thing. And, you know, somebody's going to get the message of victory by hearing overcomer. Somebody's going to get the message of victory by hearing win, but it doesn't matter which song you get it by. Just know that you have the victory, that you can win, that you are an overcomer. So that's really my, my message to the world is I know God called me here to be an encourager, to let you know that no matter what's going on in your life, that you can make it. And that's what he shows me every single day. I know that's what he does with you too, Suzanne. And
right. And the Lord is my helper.
Yes, he is.
I will not be afraid.
Yes. So. Amen. And you know, when you just said helper, we forgot to talk about this too with the, we're going to talk about our education.
The
caregiver. Exactly. Whenever you were traveling, I remember you had to do all of that as a single mom. You had to, I remember it took her hours to load up the car, because now you guys have to think that she's not just loading up the car for herself, but whenever we pack for, you know, all moms have
children.
To pack for children, but whenever you're packing for the kids, you have to, you know, you try to remember this, but then there's things like you don't even think about. If you forget the shower chair, which who would think that they would, and I know that she's done that before, you know what I'm saying, when we've traveled, because we travel together many times, but if you forget something like that, that's a huge, huge, huge thing that you can't forget. You can't forget things like that.
And I did forget it, by the way.
She did, and then there's so many things like medical equipment. You cannot forget medical equipment, you know, so there's times when you're like, okay, I forgot this, that, or the other. And these kids need that, you know. So all of our kids have such different dynamics. But she did all of that, you guys, evacuating for the hurricane, driving 7 hours, fighting the traffic, gassing up the van. The van was breaking down on her, overheating. She had to keep on stopping and putting antifreeze in it. You know, special needs kid in the car, in the wheelchair, and she's pulling over on the side of the road, overheating van, putting antifreeze in it, you know, and one of the things that she always says while she's laughing is, God always provides. God always provides.
Does.
And it's so, so true, you know.
It may not be the answer that we want, but he is providing.
He's providing in every way. And, you know, the thing that a lot of people are going to need to remember, if when there's a disaster or a hurricane, that the caregiver probably most likely will have to be with their family because they have one too. And
absolutely.
So, you know, it kind of left her to be alone and do that journey on her own. I mean, I know she had friends and family that were calling, trying to get hotels, but when it came down to the, when it comes down to the come down, and you know, she had to get in that car, drive it, and just be that super mom that she is, and to make it happen. And so I always applaud you, and I'm so thankful to call you friend, and just so proud of you. You guys stay tuned. We'll be right back after the commercial break.
WTRJ-FM, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkestone. Listener supported. The Truth.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. The rain was so torrential along Interstate 45 coming out of Galveston as Hurricane Harvey settled over southeast Texas last night that motors had to stop under bridges to avoid driving into whiteout conditions because of all the rain. The downpour has also caused a minor bit of street flooding along a highway in Dickinson, about 25 miles northwest of Galveston. It is feared the storm surge could be several feet high. Corpus Christi resident Patrick Sabatino evacuated his family to San Antonio just to be safe.
I figure we got the kids, and, you know, if it starts flooding, and we better not here.
Microphone!
It's not worth the risk.
Meanwhile, Harvey could have an impact on the gasoline prices you pay at the pump, as a number of refineries find themselves in harm's way. Oil analyst Stephen Shork says if the storm spares those refineries, production should be back up and running at normal capacity soon.
If, in best case scenario, storm passes with a minimal amount of wind and flooding damage, then these refineries will ramp up operations within a week's time. And the impact on the consumer with regard to gasoline prices will be minimal.
SRN News is partnering with the Christian nonprofit relief group Save the Children to rush life-saving aid to children and families impacted by Hurricane Harvey in Texas and Louisiana. More information at srnnews.com. Tim McGuire tells us another Trump aide is out.
A counterterrorism aide in the Trump administration, Sebastian Gorka, no longer works for the White House, says an official who insists he did not resign. He follows his former Breitbart boss, Steve Bannon, in leaving the White House. In his letter to the Federalist website, Gorka writes that those who represented President Trump's Make America Great Again policies have been internally countered, systematically removed, or undermined.
This is SRN News.
Jacksonville weekend forecast, mostly cloudy day with showers and thunderstorms. Afternoon high in the upper 80s, rain chance at 60%. This night, cloudy skies with more showers, lows in the 70s. 70% chance of more wet for Sunday with highs in the mid-80s. Cloudy skies for Sunday night, lows back to the 70s. And for Monday through Friday, expect partly cloudy days. Chance for showers at 30%, highs in the mid-80s.
All right, you guys. Welcome back to Ready to Win. This is Star. I got my good girlfriend, Miss Suzanne, on the line.
Hey.
Hello. And we've been giving you some great information on how to be prepared for hurricanes and disasters, just being prepared and some things that we've learned from our journey with our own special needs children. And I'm hoping, pray that we gave you guys some great information. And want to definitely remind you to go out and check out those websites that we gave you. The city of Jacksonville has some great hurricane preparedness information. Also on there, you will learn about what zone you're in. And if you're in a high flood zone, low flood zone, and you know which the order that you would be evacuating. So those are some great tips that we wanted to give you today. And then be sure to go back and listen to a few weeks ago to our dear friend with survivalist mentality. He gave some great information, Mr. Mike Tennis. So that was all we had to share with you on that. And now we're going to kind of move on to finish our series that we had started with education, because we know the kids are all getting back in the swing of things, getting into school. Our kids have. And we're just really, really having a great start to a new school year at Sunlight Christian Academy. And hope and pray that you guys are getting your kids back in the swing of things as well. And we've been talking about homeschool, private school, public school. It's your choice. And, you know, we've had different people come on and give their expert opinions on, you know, what they do. And even though we say it's their expert opinions, but remember that word opinion, okay, because you have to figure out what's going to work the best for you and your kid.
Absolutely.
And your family. So, I know that we did have Step Up for Students on about 3 weeks ago, and they gave an excellent, excellent show. And I believe we played their show even again last week. And, you know, just talking about the scholarships that are available for children with special needs. So make sure if you are a parent and you are looking for, you know, to know your educational choices, then you can always go to schoolchoice.org, FloridaSchoolChoice.org, and you can also check out Step Up for Students, and then you can listen again to that replay of that show from last week. And that website is www.ilovethetruth.com. Our show is Ready to Win, and it's going to be in the archives, okay? So let's go ahead and finish it up with what we've been talking about. We wanted to give you guys some other great tips for public school, because public school can be a great option for so many families. And I know that it's been about 5 years since Gabriel's been in public school, and it's been, I think, 5 years for your son as well, Suzanne?
Yeah, five, six.
Yeah. So they have some great things that happen in public school. And I know we were talking about...
And they're always changing for the better.
Yeah, they are. And education is changing for the better. And actually, things are getting better for special needs families overall, I would say. I mean, there's laws that are being passed.
I agree with that.
People are just taking more of a stand. And people are raising awareness everywhere. And people are standing up for what's... Right, you know, and so I do think that things are getting better for families and children that have special needs, and especially in our school system as well. So it's overall, we're able to have some more rights in every part of our life, and so that's working. People are actually embracing it rather than running away from it. So for public school, we talked about the socialization. Aspect of it, the structure. There's so much good structure there that the kids will be able to learn. And
routine.
You said what?
I guess routine's the same thing.
Yeah, routine. Yeah, the routine of it. And, you know, and even if they're in public school or private school or homeschool, I think you have to even develop your own routine. You know, so, and socialization, if you're in public school, private school, or homeschool, you still have to make a...
Absolutely.
You have to really make an effort for that socialization. If they are in private school or homeschool, you have to, okay, say, what are we going to do so that you can socialize? I met a lady at the pool yesterday, and she says, oh, we're part of co-ops, and we go out with... He was a homeschooler, but they did co-oping with other... families and organizations and schools, so they were still able to do field trips and do different things with other kids. So that those things work. And I think it's always beneficial too when they have brothers and sisters. You know what I mean?
It is.
Yeah.
And that's why the co-ops work so mm-hmm. well, because what do we always say? Get your support group.
Mm-hmm.
You know, find your support, and prepare in all the situations that you choose, because that allows you to be proactive rather than reactive.
And that's so true. So true. So either one of these things, the school system already has the structure and the socialization built in. And if you choose to do something different, you have to create all of those things within your own system. You have to create your own system and your own structure and your own socialization for your child. And, you know, some people are going to be great at that, and then some people are going to need a little bit of help. But this is what we've done, and we love what we've done, what we've created, and our kids are doing some amazing things and having some amazing progress. So from week to week, everything changes. You know, you never know what this day is going to bring or that day is going to bring. So you just kind of have to figure out what works for your kid.
And the IEP, you know, that's your best advocate, and that's your best tool in the public school, because that is a legal contract, and it's a part where you can be part of the team and have your input of what your desires for your child's goals are. So a lot of them are educational, but a lot of them are, you know, socialization and daily living.
Yeah, the daily living skills. Yeah, the independent daily living skills. And those are really, really key. And when you said that IEP, the individual education plan, this is one of the things that I researched this week. And it says one way that learning stops and students lose. Okay. And so I wanted to share this with you. And this comes from the Parenting Special Needs Magazine. And it's basically coming from the concept that a lot of teachers are getting bombarded because the parents are wanting the teachers to utilize all of these apps that are on these devices, iPads, Dynavoxes, or whatever. And what has happened is a lot of teachers have not been trained in this assistive technology. So they might not know how to use this stuff. And then you're telling them, this is the way I want my child to learn. And so from a teacher's mouth, she says, one thing that stops learning and is very frustrating for teachers are many parents want us to use apps and devices, and there are tons of them. In most school districts, however, training is very minimal, and if the teacher is not tech savvy, than getting handed a device and having no idea on how to use it only hurts the child. To assume,
and the parent can request the training, right?
The parents can request the training. And when you said the IEP, that's why I wanted to read this, because if you want the if you want the teachers to learn how to use the device, it needs to be in that IEP, like you said, because it's a legal contract. So it says to assume that the staff knows how to use any particular device means your child may not be getting much use out of it. And I know this is to be true, because we got one of these devices. I have no clue how to use it, and we've had it for 3 or 4 years. So we need, everybody needs training on how to use it, because if not, they just become another piece of useless equipment versus something that can really, really help the child, you know?
And right, and they need to have that in the IEP, the routine of using that.
Mm-hmm.
Because they can say, okay, we're going to use it, but how frequently are they going to use that? And is it something that they're incorporating along with the instruction?
Right, and that's exactly it. It says it could be as long as 5 months into the year with no training on the app or device, and the student really loses. So you guys hear that? All this time is going by. Nobody's learning how to use the device, because could be 5 months before they even get any training. And it says teachers can't try it out on the student when they have no idea on how to use it. And they said there's no time during the day to learn, think, or try out the device. It says teachers need time to learn Dynavox. They need time to learn iGaze or any other app for that matter. And this is how parents can help. It says parents can help as part of the IEP team. Parents need to insist on training for the staff that needs it, making sure all involved know how to use the device and not just a few minutes to try it out. Put the training time in. And it's needed in the IEP minutes, because only what's written down in the IEP is the legal contract. You see what I'm saying? So, and it says, I hope this information helps so that proper training can be put in place, with the ultimate goal being that our children have a better chance of success through quality educations. And remember, teachers cannot speak freely. There are many issues teachers face that cripple them from doing the best they can for students, and they cannot mention it, or they face being disciplined. So, I mean, I think this is just so, it was right on point. I'm so thankful for Shantae Snellgrove. She is from the Parenting Special Needs Magazine, and awesome information on something that we wouldn't even think about, you know, the fact that these teachers don't know how to use the devices that we want them to teach our kids with.
And put a time frame for the training also.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, that legal contract, the IEP, and I can't stress that enough, if it's there, it will be done. But if you say training and not put a time frame, you know, a reasonable time frame, of course, but you know, they could do training at the end of the year.
Exactly. So then your kids went the whole year without being able to use the device that you really wanted them to be able to use. And, you know, some things that we did with Gabriel when he was in public school, we actually worked hand in hand with the ABA therapist. They came to the school, so they were able to begin to implement some of the things that we were doing through the ABA services in the classroom. And that, to me, was the beginning of success, because we tried to get everybody on the same page, because you don't want them to do something all day, and then when they get out of school, to ABA therapy, and then they're having to unlearn everything that they've been doing all day, or vice versa. And I'm like, we're spending thousands of dollars of insurance money to be able to get this ABA therapy, and then you go to school, you want the people to be on the same page if this is the program that we're going to be using. So I think having your therapist on board and taking time, you know, some of these teachers are just so amazing, you guys. I have met teachers that have spent their own money. They spend their own time. They know that they're not going to be able to get trained from this system maybe for 6 or 7 months. But do you know, I have so many friends that are teachers that they go out of their way, use their own money. They seek after the classes that they know that their kids need, take them on their money, on their own dime, on their own time, and go get the information. And that, I mean, hats off to them. I'm like, yay. You know what I'm saying? So,
and be aware, these teachers, they're not only working the hours in the classroom, but they are doing the research and they are correcting the papers and they are providing the next day's curriculum. And they really put in a lot of off time hours that they should really be commended, because it is a long process to be a teacher. I mean, it's not, they just don't go to work and then come home and they're done with work. It's constantly on their mind and they're constantly putting in the hours to make sure that their students' needs are being met.
Right. So, and I think that's awesome, you know. And there's so many super amazing teachers out there, and we're just so thankful, you know, that they do the best that they can do in the public school system, because they have so many. They don't just have, we're just going to put autistic kids in this class, and we'll put all the kids that have cerebral palsy in this class, and we'll put all these other kids in this. They're usually, the classes are so diverse with so many different needs, and everybody's are all over the place. So it's a blessing that they are able to do what they do. And so we just want to make sure that we give our teachers a big shout out, and you know, just the love and support, because a lot of these teachers go over and beyond to make sure.
Thank you
From special needs moms all over the country, these teachers go over and beyond to make sure that they're doing what they need to do to help our kids. And I, you know, for me, and I know for you, Suzanne, like the number one priority for us is safety and making sure that our kids are safe. And, you know, that's always been, and it always will be, just to say, okay, I want to make sure you're in a safe environment. But we were talking about this last night, and we were talking about how safety for one doesn't mean safety for another. Something that you can do to create safety for one kid or one individual can turn into a detriment
to the other.
Exactly. And that's something that you said, and I really thought about it. I was like, wow, who would think that could be detrimental to the other? But it could be. And so that's why we know these teachers are going over and beyond, because they're trying to make it a win-win situation so that all the families can win that have these children with special needs, and that everybody is getting what they need. And you know, I have so many stories. I have some amazing friends, and that's one of the pointers that you gave yesterday. And then my other really good girlfriend, Victoria, she said, Star, make sure everything is in writing. You know, she said, I don't care what you say, I want it to be in writing. And that goes right along with that IEP. It doesn't matter what they say, it matters what's written down, because what's written down is what you can hold people accountable for.
Right. And good intentions are one thing, but when it's in that IEP, they always tell me it's good as gold.
It's good as gold, right. And that goes with a lot of things. I mean, I think how many times as parents have we just took somebody's word on something, or, you know, but we need to see that written down. And I know I've been so guilty of this in the past, because I'm just like such a social butterfly. I just love it. I love talking to people. But guess what? Now, Star Fields wants some. I want to see it black and white. Give me some stuff written down, because black and white is what you can hold people accountable for. They're going to do what they say they're going to do on the paper. You know what I'm saying?
But, well, it also allows them to keep on track too. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's so easy. Yeah, special needs parents, we know that you have to be flexible in this situation, because there's always challenges that we do not foresee, and something new happens during the day. Mm-hmm. You just have to be able to, you know, address that, because that's what's in your presence at the moment. But ideally, if you have it in writing, then you can always reflect back when things go back to normal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is what our goal is. Let's keep on it.
That's right. And that's the key, is to be able to have that as that. It's a starting point. It's the starting point, and it can be the ending point, because we're basing everything off of that paper of this is our goal. Let's see where we're at. And I think it keeps everybody on the same page. And so that's so key. So
it's beneficial to see all the progress, too.
It's
really rewarding.
It's amazing to see the progress. It really is amazing. I love that. I love to see the progress. And then you also can see areas where you maybe are not making as much progress as you want, and you can make some changes. So I think that's key as well.
Yeah.
Another thing I want to talk about when it comes to safety, because remember we were talking about your point that you made yesterday that I thought was really good, was safety for one can be detrimental to the other. And so, like, I think in the public school system and in any type of setting, knowing what your child is, I don't want to say their limitations, but you know your child and you know what's best for your child, right? And you know what challenges that they face. So if I can even give this example, because I thought about it all night. There's things that I've seen with Gabriel. For example, he's so loving and he's so kind, but he's not aware of if something is biting him. Like when I told you guys the story about him running through the ant pile, and you know, he didn't have any idea that these little ants are going to bite him, you know what I mean? And that they were going to make his legs sting and all that. And so those are all things as teachers, parents, and just watching and monitoring our kids' surroundings that, you know, you have to be totally aware of at all times, because one person's sensitivity or one person's danger might not be the other one. Another child might know, oh, I can't walk in that ant pile. But my kid, I mean, an ant is a threat to us, an ant. And I know yesterday it was a spider. We were like, we spent like 20 minutes making sure there wasn't a spider in her car, because we knew that he wouldn't be able to feel the spider, and we don't want the spider to bite him. I mean, so it's just these things.
And it was a big spider.
It was a big spider. So we were like, it's a spider, you know. We were trying. I mean, we literally spent 20 minutes out there looking for the spider, because these are challenges. These are real challenges that our kids face. You know, they will not know or won't be able to feel it or whatever. For whatever reason, they're defenseless to this spider, you know, or this ant. And when you think about it, sometimes it can make you sad, but it is what it is. You know, we have to be so mindful of safety and double checking all the time with anything at school, at work, at play, even driving in the car.
And even like for another example is that some people are soothed by mint. Mm-hmm. Some people are allergic to mint.
Mm-hmm.
So again, communication is your best advocate to make sure that everyone's needs are. Be mindful that everyone has different levels of needs.
They really, really do, and that's why finding that proper place, that proper school, and the proper classroom where your kid can best be served is going to be key for you guys. And you know, for us. I have so many stories. I can give you, I have all these, I'm looking at my notes and I have so many stories I wanted to share with you guys, because we have just had, it's been such an incredible journey, you guys.
Adventure.
It has been. It's been an adventure, you know. So, and I can't go into all the stories, but you have to, our job, if you're a special needs teacher in public school, private school, home school, whatever you're, wherever you are, safety has got to be always number one. And we definitely want to make sure that we, and the car has to be childproof too. Everything has to be childproof, because you can't get mad at the kid, because like, here goes Star. I can't get mad at the kid because I left the baby powder back there. And then my black Cadillac turns into a white Cadillac, the whole car. You know what I mean? It looked like snow was in there. I just pulled in the driveway and Quentin was like, what's wrong? So he just came outside and he just started cleaning it, because he knew, he's like, he's seen it look in my face like I hadn't had it. That was the day, you know, the black Cadillac.
There's that support.
Yes, it's the support. But it was just, you know, those are all things. So, you know, and we're parents and we still leave the baby powder there, you know. But I remember when Gay went to school, one of the teachers says, oh, my gosh, I have to take everything off my desk because he just keeps grabbing everything. And, you know, and for, you know, so now all these innocent things like paper clips and rubber bands all become dangerous because you have a kid that now is so sensory oriented that he's going to put everything in his mouth. So now so it makes you revamp your whole classroom. And so it just, you know, those are all things. I know that a lot of our special needs teachers that are out there listening are like, yep, I had to take all this stuff off my desk too. And the toys that some kids could play with are dangerous to other kids. So they had to move those little toys that Gabriel put in his mouth because they didn't want him to choke on them. But the other kids really liked those toys, you know. So it's really just finding that happy balance in that place where everybody can win and everybody can get what they need. And I would have played win there, but we don't even have time for another song, you guys. But I just want to thank you for tuning in. Thank you so much, Suzanne, for calling in and sharing your heart and your thoughts and everything on and your experiences, because these experiences are invaluable. You know, all these years taking care of your son and doing an amazing job, and I've learned so much from you, and I continue to. And and I'm just excited that we get to share our story and our lives. We get to share it with the world and help everybody else enjoy their journey as much. So before we get out of here, we are excited to say that some people have partnered with us. We're just excited. You guys want to know how you can get involved and help the Giveaway Foundation, as the Giveaway Foundation helps the community. And we're excited. We've had Henderson Haven. They've donated diapers to us. And I was so excited when they said, do you need some diapers? I was like, oh my gosh, yes. That was the whole reason I wanted to start a foundation, was simply because of diapers. Diapers and wipes. I'm like, do diapers and wipes. Okay. I remember I was spending way more money on my diapers and wipes bill than my light bill. And when it comes down to that, you're like, okay, something's got to go, you know? And so, but we're just excited that they've partnered with us and donated some diapers to our foundation. So we have 80 to 125 pounds, some extra large ones. And then we also have some Chucks that they've donated as well. And we are starting a lending closet to help families that have special needs children in the community. So if you are in need of diapers, please email us at info@givewayfoundation.org so that we can be a blessing to you and assist you with some diapers for now that might help you with some things. Of course, the diapers are not part of the lending closet. You don't have to give them back. Okay, but we are starting a lending closet, and we're going to be giving away different things that could be of use to you that our children maybe have grown out of. And also Henderson Haven has manual wheelchairs and walkers, canes, and catheter supplies. If anybody needs any of those items, you can please contact Sherry Henderson at Henderson Haven, and her number is 904-264-2522. And we also have some other great information of some places that we're going to be singing and performing for Giveaway Foundation with Texas Roadhouse. So be on next Saturday and you'll get all those dates, and stay connected to our Facebook page. And if you like anything that you've heard, if you want to partner with us, if you want to be a blessing to what we're doing to help other families win here in Northeast Florida and all over the country, you guys can definitely do so by going to www.givewayfoundation.org. There's a donate button right there, and you'll be able to donate and help us do what we do. We love you guys. Thank you so much for listening today. Thank you, Suzanne, for being on. Thank you so much, Alan. And you guys have an awesome week. Bye now.
You've been listening to Ready to Win, turning disabilities into unique abilities, an empowered hour to help you and your child with special needs. You're encouraged to get involved in our local special needs community. Learn more at givewayfoundation.org. That's givewayfoundation.org. And remember, you're always equipped to win.